Good morning. We'll call the April 8th, 2014 Sussex County Council meeting to order. First thing will be the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, Council. We can amend the agenda under executive session, striking land acquisition. No other amendments.
Entertained a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
I'll make it.
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. We had the minutes of April 1st. Any questions, changes, or concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
There is none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from Council?
No.
Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. First item of business is the Fair Housing Month Proclamation. I have a proclamation here to read, and we will do a presentation. We're joined by Angela Emerson from the Sussex County Association of Realtors, who will receive the proclamation. A proclamation from Sussex County Council proclaiming the month of April as Fair Housing Month in Sussex County. Whereas April 2014 marks the 46th anniversary of the passage of the U.S. Fair Housing Law, Title 8 of the Civil Rights Act of 1968, which enunciates a national policy of fair housing without regard to race, color, religion, national origin, sex, familial status, or handicap, and encourages fair housing opportunities for all citizens. And whereas the Sussex County Council and the Sussex County Association of Realtors are committed to highlight the fair housing law by continuing to address discrimination in our community, to support programs that will educate the public about the right to equal housing opportunities, and to plan partnership efforts with other organizations to help assure every American of the right to fair housing. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council proclaims April 2014 as Fair Housing Month, beginning a year-long commemoration of this U.S. Fair Housing Law in Sussex County, and urges all citizens to wholeheartedly recognize this celebration throughout the year. Signed, Michael H. Vincent, President, dated April 8th, 2014.
Good morning.
How are you today?
You get taller realtors.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Ooh, just lined up here.
Half his size.
Support.
Thank you.
Anything you'd like to say or
speech?
We've done that.
You're fine. You're fine. You're fine. You're fine. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Angela. Thanks for being here.
I think it's for scholarships. It's for privilege.
Next item of business on the agenda is the Coastal Club LLC Development Ordinance Requirement Update. Contained in your packet this week, Council, was a memorandum from Assistant County Attorney Vince Robertson, who is also present should we have any questions. I felt it necessary to bring the Council up to speed on an effort that the county staff has embarked on as it relates to this development, commonly known as the Coastal Club, and before that known as the Marine Farm. I'll go quickly over the ordinance, and if you have any questions of myself or Vince, feel free. In the packet was the ordinance number 1770, which was adopted April 2005. Again, at the time of adoption, it was referencing the Marine Farm. That has since changed ownership, and it is now called the Coastal Club. Within the ordinance, there's a requirement by the developer to provide certain improvements to the local community next to the farm that is to be developed. The community is known as Jimtown, which is located just west of Five Points off of Beaver Dam Road and Jimtown Road. There's language in the ordinance that specifically says, if desired by the residents of Jimtown. We've never had a reference like that in an ordinance that I'm aware of. So the uniqueness of the language and the requirement as it's laid out in the ordinance brought us to where we are today to engage the residents of Jimtown to see what they would desire as it relates to these improvements, because there is really no guidance within the ordinance. It's up for interpretation. The improvements that I am referencing include the installation of water and sewer lines along Jimtown Road, and then also streetlights and a sidewalk. The sewer and water lines will go in regardless because they will serve the community and they will run down Jimtown Road. Connection is not mandatory by the residents. It is optional. And then the other two improvements, sidewalks and streetlights, are optional as it relates to the language in the conditions listed in the ordinance. That's the reference, if desired, by the residents of Jimtown. The county has teamed with First State Community Action to serve as our liaisons to go out into the community and actually work with the residents to determine what their wishes are as it relates to these improvements. At some time in the future, we haven't set a date yet, there will be a community meeting with all the residents of Jimtown to go over and explain in detail these requirements as it relates to what is listed in the ordinance. I want to emphasize that the current representatives of the developer are not seeking to amend any of these obligations. We are all working together, and I will say, in my opinion, we are all on the same page as of today to see what improvements will actually occur out there at the right time. And I believe that covers the ordinance, and again, the language is contained in the packet. The condition is number 17 within the ordinance, and then the items within 17 are item A, sewer, item B, water, C, streetlights, and D, sidewalks. That's all I have. Yes, sir. Mr. Cole.
Do we know where, when it says along Jimtown Road, do we have a start and a finish?
Yes, we do.
We don't have a map with us today or anything.
We don't have a map today, and I apologize, but we will bring one in when we update you in the future.
Okay.
There is a reference on Beaver Dam. I'm sorry. There's a reference in the ordinance to the intersection of Beaver Dam Road and Jimtown, which is a T intersection, and a bridge on Jimtown Road, which goes over Gosley Creek. So from that point, those are your two bookends. From the bridge at Gosley Creek to the intersection of Beaver Dam and Jimtown is the section of the road that we're referencing.
And that does impact some of the single-family homes along there, right?
That is correct.
In other words, that's the reason we were trying to accommodate, I would think, the safety features of sidewalks and streetlights with the benefits of them. Okay. And the developer's paying for it. So when a developer tears up the roads for sewer, he would make it probably all part of one contract with whoever that developer is to either put in sidewalks at that time. So that's the most cost-effective time to do it, right? So it would be all within one contract, you think, or
that is one of the aims of doing it this way. The language again is somewhat vague, and currently, as the I should say, let me back up for a second. Once we get the understanding from the residents as to what they want as it relates to these improvements, the developer is going to then apply for an amendment to this ordinance that reflects the residents' wishes.
Right.
One thing that's contained in the ordinance as it's written now is a reference to on-site sewer. That has changed. The development will now be part of the county sewer as the expansion of Gosley Creek District takes place. So once they come before you all and planning and zoning to amend this ordinance, some of these questions will be addressed. One thing, as the ordinance is written now, which I view as an improvement, is the consolidation of that contract, Mr. Cole, where if they come in and improve the roads now, they won't come in a year later and install the streetlights and the sidewalks. They would rather come through and do it all at once, disturbing the neighborhood one time and having a construction schedule that involves just one straight shot that does everything in one time frame, which would be an improvement, and also reduce their expense.
And then once the sewer and water were sewer lines, not water lines, or?
Both.
Both, okay, both lines are put in the ground. Residents would then have the option to hook up. Would it be logical to think that then, because the developers installed those lines, that the impact fees would be not as great as they would have been if there weren't any laterals and all this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there any savings if for the residents in the future if they start having septic problems?
Hookup fee.
Well, the way the ordinance is written, connection's not mandatory. Connection fees are waived, paid for by the developer. And then
even the connection fees would be way at this point.
Correct.
But if they don't do it at this point, in the future they will not be waived.
That is correct.
Okay. All right.
And we
seems fair.
In the internal discussion right now is trying to determine the point at which a resident would have to pay for connection. I'd say that the gentleman's agreement at this point is when the sewer system for Coastal Club is handed over and our engineering department has signed off on it. So, which generally takes a few years.
Right.
And then at that point, we'll have an idea of the sewer system is no longer in the developer's hands. It's part of the county system. And we will have that as a definitive trigger point for when the residents must connect without
fees. It's a good opportunity then for them to hook up.
Well,
at a saving, so hopefully they will see the benefits.
It's my district.
Mrs. Deaver, you care for the floor?
Yeah, it's my district. Thank you, George. And I've been concerned about this for a long time, and I think the way you're handling this is brilliant, and I really, really appreciate. And I'm not quite sure how the law works as far as determining the vote, but I'd like to find out more about that in the future. I'm just very relieved because it's been turmoil for years. And that gentleman's agreement, I have to call you on that. I'm not sure what that is, but does that go along with fair housing, fair treatment? Gentlemen, no ladies involved?
Yeah.
I question that.
Sure.
That's my job.
Excuse my terminology.
Yeah.
It's what we have agreed upon in our discussions, and that is just tentatively what is on the table right now as the negotiations continue.
I understand. But the women are included as well.
That is correct.
Correct. Thank you.
Anything else? Questions, Mr. Wilson?
Todd, how much average would this cost? Let's start with a personal question. How much would an average home pay for this sewer system?
For the connection or for the
whole system, for all of them that's in that building?
We have those figures, and I apologize,
okay.
Mr. Wilson.
That's
I don't have
okay.
them in front of me. We have been given an estimate of the cost, annual cost to the residents. So if they choose to sign up, and this is a question we anticipate at the community meeting, what's this going to cost me per year after I get connected? And there is a rough estimate produced by our engineering department right now. Mr. Robertson, do you have that off the top of your head?
Yeah. Engineering, as Mr. Lawson said, did just sort of an estimate based on the front footages that are out there, and it was a range of about $325 to $395 a year for the...
So $300 to $400.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that would put it, Todd, if I'm not mistaken, if that's service charge to everything?
That's what I understand. They rolled everything together.
Yeah, because the developer put in the line, so that means the front footage charges are going to be very reasonable. So that's probably puts them in one of the most reasonable sewer districts we got at $300 to $400 a year.
Well, if we figure $400, that's $4,000 for 10 years, $16,000 for 40 years, you can't put a private system in for that. It'll cost you, I mean, especially if you got a mound system where it's not approved. So it's very reasonable, I think.
Well, what's nice about it, Sam, is when you flush that, it's gone off your property.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You had no maintenance.
That's right.
It's no maintenance. No pumping. You got a pumping bill. If you own your own tank, you pay $100.
But anyway, no, it seems to me a good,
Mr. Wilson does afford
good deal, right?
Mr. Wilson.
You know, you pay about $100 a year for average $100 a year for pumping. So it's about every other year you pump. It's about roughly almost $200. So when you add that in, it's really reasonable. I mean, this is actually cheaper than owning your own septic system. So I don't see how that can explain
Any more questions from council?
I have one more.
Mr. Phillips?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No concern about this being considered contract zoning?
No, it was approved back in 2005 or 2006. And it was just something that was, I think, resolved as a result of the public hearing to address concerns of the folks in Jimtown. And I believe this part was actually proffered by the developer. I don't think that's a concern.
Okay. More questions, Council? Mr. Deaver?
Well, I appreciate that the folks are being given every opportunity to decide what it is they want, and it's handled in a democratic way, and I appreciate that. And technically, I just can't imagine what happens alongside those roads. You've got nothing but water in most of those areas where the forests are, and I imagine it's going to be some job to install anything because it's quite wet. But that's a technical question. I'm sure the county can deal with that, but I'm a little concerned about that. But thank you very much for giving them every opportunity. I hope we are able to very well educate everyone as to all of their options. Thank you very much.
Anything else from council? Thank you, Vince.
Thanks.
Mr. Lawson. Thank
you, Vince. Thank you. We will keep you up to date. The next item is the county administrator's report for April 8th. Item number one, the Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities for Sussex County will hold a special conference planning meeting on Tuesday, April 15th at 10 a.m. at the Sussex Academy, located at 21150 Airport Road in Georgetown. A copy of the agenda is attached. Item number two, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, Swan Cove Phase 4B received substantial completion effective April 1, 2014. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Jennings, health insurance renewal.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. I want to discuss the renewal of our stop-loss insurance. This is a type of insurance that covers our claims above our self-insurance limits and is renewed every year. We requested quotes from six carriers. Quotes were received from four. In January, staff met with Integra and Steve Fallon of IBC, our insurance consultant, to discuss the quotes and the health insurance performance the last year. Both the county staff and IBC recommend choosing the incumbent companion. Their terms are consistent with the current year and the specific deductible of $285,000 and an aggregating specific deductible of $100,000. This will be a $4,223 annual savings to the county's fixed cost. And we have Dave Smith here from Integra to discuss our performance in the last year or take any of your questions. We have had a good year this last year. We joined the HPN network, and that saved us $160,000. We've also adopted the spousal coordination. We had five people come off the plan, and that was an average of $40,000 annually. We've also encouraged the use of generic drugs, and that also saved us $149,000 annually.
Great.
Mr. Smith, good morning.
Good morning. What questions can I answer for you this morning?
Any questions of council?
We do this every year. This is just our stop loss. If we have any catastrophic causes, that's all this is.
Do we keep saving money every year like that, or is that just this year? Or?
We just had a very good year.
Yes,
we made
okay.
some changes right. because we knew the ACA law that was coming in. Mm-hmm. We took some changes to mm-hmm. make sure that we keep our costs down.
So good job.
It was a good year this year.
Yes, it's... Actually, for the last almost 3 years, the costs have been fairly static. This mm-hmm. year has been a little over $500,000 is projected to be the reduction, which is about 5% of the total cost of the plan. One of the very key factors has been the installation of the high-performance network. I just got some good news, is that the AI DuPont New Morris Foundation has just been added to that high-performance network. And we're adding new providers on a regular basis, so that will help control those costs as we go into the next fiscal year. So we're very pleased with the development of that and how that is affecting the costs.
We're very pleased with the savings, I can assure you.
Like going to the grocery store when they tell
very
you
pleased with
you've
that.
Saved so
any
much.
More, any more questions,
right.
Council?
Yeah. Or you go to Walgreens and you get out the you know, little right. thing at the bottom says you
you've
cut
saved.
This much off.
That's
right.
That's a good thing.
It's a good thing. And we're, you know, one of the things that I have to kind of warn you about is that no one really knows how the Affordable Care Act is going to affect costs. We're all anticipating some increases, although the inflation trend is projected to be about 7.6%. Everybody's very cautiously saying, you know, there may be some pain in the beginning of this new law because of some of the changes that are taking place. Some of those are the taxes that, you know, have been discussed. I just got word today also that as of March 31st, the reinsurance transitional tax, which will help fund the individual mandates, has been reduced by 30%. So that will cost the county about $20,000, $30,000 less than anticipated in the next year. Those fees will be not due until January of 2015 and December of 2015. So who knows, they may be reduced even farther. So we're anticipating a lot of changes. Every day changes take place in this law. It's as you read the papers and listen to the news, I'm sure you are familiar with those changes. So, but we're keeping up with it. We're making adjustments to the plan, doing what's necessary to keep the costs in control.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Questions, Council?
I just want to say that this county is outstanding in management and financial management. In a nation that just goes and prints money whenever it wants to, we can't do that. And I just think that we're doing a great job, and I appreciate it. All the staff and all the work they do. Good job.
Thank you, Mrs. Deaver.
Mrs. Jennings, you have a motion?
I do. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council renew its one-year agreement with Companion to provide stop-loss insurance coverage for a fee of $238,343.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
The 7.6% inflation was just in health care costs, correct?
That's health care costs nationwide.
Wow. Nationwide.
Nationwide.
Wow.
Mr. Hal Godwin, come on down. Legislative update.